Oh, that was kind of my first draft. Yeah. All of a sudden, Finks is in the hospital.
Right.
So Bud and I are just the two of us.
Yeah.
But Bud sat there, and I was doing my little thing with the charts I had and drafting these guys, and draft turned out pretty good.
I'd say so.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to another edition of Skol Stories. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. Lots to get to in the show tonight. I'm really excited about our guest. It's Jerry Rykow. We're going to get to him in a minute, but first, a word on your current Minnesota Vikings. They're red hot, they're in first place, and they play in a couple days. They play the Detroit Lions on Thursday. The game is at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, so a little fun before you get your Thanksgiving Day festivities going on Thursday. Make sure you're there for the boom. Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will bring you the call. And of course, Mike Musselman will be hosting the pregame show. All of that on the Vikings Radio Network. That is the state of your current Minnesota Vikings. But this is Skol Stories. And what we do on Skol Stories is we take a walk down memory lane and analyze a person or an event that is significant to Vikings history. And tonight, it's Jerry Rykow. And there aren't many more people more intimately involved in the Minnesota Vikings organization and Vikings history than Jerry Rykow. Let me explain before you hear from Jerry yourself. Jerry was on the very first Vikings team back in 1961. But before that, he was a star at the University of Iowa. He's from Iowa. He left the Hawkeye program as the all-time leader in total offense. And he also guided the Iowa Hawkeyes basketball team to the Final Four. So he's one of those guys that's good at everything he does. He eventually got drafted into the NFL by the Detroit Lions, where in his first season, he helped the Lions win a title as a backup quarterback and receiver. Eventually, he moved on to the Philadelphia Eagles in 1960, and he helped the Eagles win an NFL title as well. His tie to the Vikings begins there, because when he played for the Eagles, he played with Norm Van Brocklin, who was also a player on that team. After the 1960 season, Norm Van Brocklin retired and became the Vikings head coach, the first head coach in Vikings history. Van Brocklin brought his buddy, Jerry Rykow, as a player to the Vikings, and Rykow was a star tight end. He caught 11 touchdowns and 50 passes from Fran Tarkenton in Tarkenton's rookie season of 1961. So a very significant place in Vikings history for Jerry Rykow as a player alone. Then he retired and he joined the Vikings front office in 1966, where he has been ever since. Rykow was the director of player personnel for a time. Then he was the head of football operations. He was the assistant GM in the 90s, and he's now a personnel consultant. So Jerry Rykow is the authority on all things Vikings since the franchise's inception in 1961. So it's a treat to talk to Jerry. He's got a wealth of knowledge, and he has a ton of experience with the Vikings. We got to draw upon that last spring in a conversation with him, and we're going to share that conversation with you right now on Skol Stories. Here's Jerry Rykow.
A living legend in Vikings history, Jerry Rykow, and we're sitting and chatting with someone who's seen every draft in Vikings history and someone who was drafted himself even before that. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. I'm not real busy upstairs here, so.
Well, I mean, that's because all your work is done. You've already put all your work in, right? Draft day is when you guys just sit and watch how it falls.
Right. So it's, yeah, the work is what they work year round now. It wasn't always that way before.
It wasn't, huh?
No.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of things that are different about it, not better or worse, but just different about the whole process, right?
Yeah, very much so. He didn't even, first of all, when I got involved, I was the only one. There was no scouts, so it was, we joined the scouting combine, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, and things that are commonplace now in the process weren't in place when you were starting or you helped start. I mean, Blesto, the combine you mentioned.
When they asked me to scout, they fired me from playing and hired me to scout.
Well, let's go back a little bit before that to your playing days. Explain to us, you know, what your career was like and how it went.
Well, back then it was the assistant coaches did most of the scouting, because you hardly ever saw. The team might have one scout, but they just weren't around. But the year I was a senior, I played in the Senior Bowl. And our coach was Buddy Parker, who was the Detroit line coach.
And you end up playing with the first head coach in Vikings history, correct? Norm Van Brocklin.
Yeah, yes.
What do you remember about that?
He was different than a lot of coaches. He was very great one-liners, but you didn't want to be the recipient of those one-liners. But he was a competitive guy, brilliant offensive mind, you had to challenge him right away, or boy, he'd pick on you all the time, which he did to some guys, and a lot of guys didn't really care for him, but they all respected his knowledge of the game. So.
And then, of course, you are around in the early stages of Vikings history, building a team and a franchise is getting off the ground.
Yep.
What do you remember about those days?
It was different. No office, had to go down to the North American Life Insurance building where, and then they had it over here, Southdale, so it was different, there's only 5-6 of us people working, so.
When you were in the middle of it, could you sense it growing and ballooning and sense the direction?
Well, when I was, I think it was 62 or 3, I was the player rep. And we had a meeting down in Florida. All of a sudden, here come three gentlemen from ABC, NBC, and CBS, and they started talking, and I'm like, whoa, TV is gonna be running our league, and sure enough, it did eventually, and that, all the money and everything came after that, so.
Yeah, and that's a double-edged sword. I'm sure it created a lot of change and maybe consternation, but it's also been good for the game.
Right? Oh, it's some heavy pockets walking around now, these guys. And which they didn't have back then, but that everything fits, and TV is so popular that, and football is kind of a made-for-TV sport, so it really helps.
Yeah, and I know right off the bat I refer to you as a living legend in Vikings history, and maybe you're uncomfortable with that, distinction, but it's true, and you worked with others, played with others and worked with others who are also of that status, and I think one of them is Bud Grant.
Yeah, the greatest guy to work with ever for me, because you could make a bad choice, and we all make them, never, ever brought it up. Never brought it up, and certainly could have, but he's the best observer of people I've ever seen. He can tell you things, and he never doesn't talk much, but all of a sudden he'll say something, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? And that player over there that we're watching, he sees everything. He doesn't talk a lot, but sees everything. Yeah. And fun to work with, because you do your job, and that's it.
So when you have a personality like that with young players, but yet those young players still really embrace the coach, is that a hard balance to draw?
He was, first of all, he's different than any other coach that I knew. He didn't have to holler at you. All he had to do was look at you and go, oh, my God, what did I do wrong now, He's got those steely eyes and those players just, snap to attention. It just emanated from him. I'm the head man, and everybody knows it, and you get in line. So. Yeah. And we had some really good players that would back him up, Jim Marshall and guys like that. Love to play for him.
Yeah. And I want to ask you about some of those guys, too. I mean, Jim Marshall, maybe we'll start with him. Coach Grant almost gets emotional whenever he talks about Jim Marshall.
Great guy.
Yeah.
I kind of boycott the Hall of Fame simply because he's not in it.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting to me. And see some of the guys. That team in 57 in Detroit when we won, we had, I think, 7 or 8 Hall of Famers on them. And Marshall's not in. I just can't believe that.
Yeah, and if you look at just accolades, that can be a shallow way to look at it. You need to look deeper into the impact a player had. So can you tell us a little bit about, beyond just the All-Pros or Pro Bowls, what did Jim do that was so great?
He was our team leader, on particularly on defense. But if anything happened, Jim would tell the coach, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And sure enough, and it happened more than once. That's when the black-white thing back in the 60s was going on, and we had a couple of players that were having some problems, and Jim just, whoosh, no more problems. And he was our leader, and of course, offense, we had Tarkenton and a bunch of Tingeloff and those guys, but Jim was the leader, I thought.
Okay, we're up against a break right now. We are going to come back with more from Jerry Reichow, but before we go, want to give you a programming note. Join host Mike Mussman along with Vikings legend John Randall at Sunshine Factory in Plymouth tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. for a live broadcast of Vikings Country. You could win some great prizes, including tickets in the Miller Lite Lounge at U.S. Bank Stadium. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more info and a full schedule. And for more from Jerry Reichow, please stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Wobby back with more Skol Stories tonight and our conversation with Jerry Reichow in a minute. But first, be the first to know breaking Vikings news, access video on demand, and get ticket alerts all on your phone with the Minnesota Vikings app. Download today in the App Store and Google Play. Speaking of apps, the Minnesota Vikings and KFan Radio have teamed up to create the all-new Vikings channel on the iHeartRadio app. To hear exclusive interviews and breakdowns of your favorite team, download the free iHeartRadio app and search Minnesota Vikings. You find that Vikings channel, you can catch up on past editions of Skol Stories. You can hear the Wobcast, my weekly podcast. You can hear our press conferences and so much more. So make sure you go check that out. All right, more from Jerry Reichow coming up right now.
There's another person I want to ask you about, Freddie Zambrilletti.
Freddie goes back, way back to my Iowa days.
That's right.
We went to school together down there, and he was a couple of years ahead of me. But when we started the Vikings, I had played with Van Brocklin the year before down in Philadelphia. And so he called me and asked me if I'd put in a good word for him, and it did. And I don't know if that meant anything, but he got the job. So.
And that's the great part about that part of Vikings history and where we are now is we're lucky enough to still have these individuals here to hear their stories and have them share their perspective. Yeah. Jim Marshall does it often, and Freddie still does it.
Freddie knows everything. He's kind of like Bud was. Bud sees everything, but Fred does too.
Right.
From down here in the training room, and he can tell you a lot of stories probably shouldn't be told. But
right.
Yeah.
And isn't that part of the deal with a trainer is the relationship with the coach, right, and management, but then with the players.
And the players, because you better get the players' trust or you got a whole problem. Yeah. No, they love Freddie.
Yeah. Another member of the Iowa to Vikings pipeline is Burnsy. Head coach, offensive coordinator Jerry Burns.
I got to throw this in. We need more Hawkeyes around here.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're starting to get them.
I mean, we had a bunch of them here then.
We
had Wally Hilgenberg and Kraus and Bush Murdies and Frank Gilliam, and we had a lot of Hawkeyes around. We were winning then, so let's get some more
Might
Hawkeyes.
Might be something to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We just had a great Hawkeye retire from the Vikings,
right.
Chad Greenway. What do you remember about him? Because when he was coming up and we were drafting him and scouting him, you were obviously involved.
Yeah, well, he was obviously one of the top linebackers coming out, and he was a farmer's kid, and those kids work. They know how to work. He knows how to work. He worked very hard, and he had great personality, and he's been a real plus for the Vikings, Chad has,
No doubt about it. Back to Coach Burns. I know a lot of people talk about the West Coast offense and who invented it and who mastered it, but Burnsy is one of those guys.
He's early on. He had a whole lot of that going, And the same way with on defense, that 46 defense that Buddy Ryan takes credit for and all that. Neil Armstrong actually put it in here before Buddy went down to the Bears.
So
we had Carl Kisielke was playing that position.
And that is kind of the way, it's cyclical and people are using other people's ideas at different times.
It's like the West Coast offense. A guy like Jerry Rice caught it perfect. Timing was perfect for him. Joe Montana was there. Walsh was the coach, just starting it. People saying, what are they doing over there? They throw all those little short passes, they turn long. And no, I mean, the timing for Rice and Montana for that reason was really good.
You know, we draft Dalvin Cook. We've signed Latavius Murray. The Adrian Peterson era has come and gone, and we lived that, and it was, you know, awesome, quite frankly, one of the best of all time. But Bill Brown, your memories of him, and what kind of player was he? Because, you know, a lot of people maybe got to see him play and will love to hear you talk about him, but a lot also didn't get to see him play.
Bill Brown was a much better athlete than probably people think he is. He's a good basketball player. Yeah. I mean, he didn't look like one, but he ran so low, you're tackling a helmet. That's hard to tackle, a helmet. And Billy was a 100%er. He and Dave Osborne together, they said, well, it's cold today. It's going to be a good day for us.
Yeah.
And Brownie and Ozzy would go out there and pound you. No, he was a great friend, a great worker, and a great leader. So.
Yeah, and maybe another one of those guys that didn't get all the accolades and, you know, doesn't look like Canton will be calling him, but really was important like a Hall of Famer is.
Yeah, but back then it was a little different because you stayed on one team, you know. So we had this great leadership with Brownie and Marshall and Alderman and Tinglehoff, and they played a long time on the same team, which is, you know, you come in here and, well, we got all these leaders, so.
Mm-hmm. With all that has changed over your career, you know, you're still here and taking part in helping, observing the draft. What's the same?
Just the players. You look at those guys, they're different than they used to be, but they're still the better ones than the next ones. And, well, this guy, you've got something going here. Yep. And you try to pick up on that kind of stuff because they're all big and strong and they work on it the year round, which they didn't do back then. So before then, you used to go to training camp to get in shape.
Now you better be in shape before camp.
Oh, yeah. And they got guys working with them year round. And back then we had jobs in the off season, and you go to training camp. My first training camp was 2 months long. So it's wow. It's a grind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 1967 draft.
Oh, that was kind of my first draft. Yeah. I went through that other thing the year before, but I hardly scouted at all. And Bud came down from Canada. He was here, and Finks is in the hospital.
Right. And he's the decision maker, essentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was GM.
And he goes into the hospital when the draft is starting, right?
So Bud and I are just the two of us.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking about it. It's so much easier when you're the only one there. You make your choice. If you hit on one or you missed on one, then, you know, you got nobody to blame even.
Yeah.
But Bud sat there, and I was doing my little thing with the charts I had and drafting these guys, and draft turned out pretty good.
I'd say so.
But Bud must have liked it because he didn't fire me. So.
Well, I think so. But, I mean, talk about the three players that you got who turned out to be outstanding players.
Yeah. The Michigan State and Notre Dame they had the famous 10-10 tie.
Yeah.
I was at that game watching them play, and we got Clinton Jones, Gene Washington, and Alan Page on that.
Pretty good all.
On the same field. And so we had some quality guys, and luckily we had three first-round picks to take them.
Yeah.
The other two were obviously what they were, but Page, when they were playing, they had Page way out at defensive end, in a wide tackle six, they used to call it. And damn, he can't get around him. He's almost standing on the sideline, you know. Yeah. But if I hadn't seen him in practice, how quick he was and explosive, I don't know if we'd have taken him, but because we drafted him as a defensive end. We had Marshall and Eller. And so, we'll move Eller inside. He said, I'm not going inside. So we put Page out. So I put Page inside, and he was just built for that. I mean, he was so quick off the ball.
And there you have the Purple People Eaters.
We had the Purple People Eaters, And he kind of was the glue. Yeah.
You know, talking about those things that stay the same, even in a constantly changing environment, you know, you talked about going to watch Notre Dame practice and seeing Alan Page in practice.
Yep.
It still comes down sometimes to that, going and seeing a guy.
It's it was back then, spring practice was tough. And that's when the coaches would come on in, yeah. And then in the fall, they didn't want you around much. So it was, yeah. And you didn't see the same hitting like you saw in the spring. And so it was a good time to go to those places to see these kids as they emerged. But that's how we picked up on Paige, was in spring practice. So it was, the rest of them were a lot like that too. We didn't have a whole big staff. I was the only scout. So yeah. It was just so different now, that all the big staff and all the equipment they have now. We used to carry a 16-millimeter projector around and hopefully get a tape when you went to the school, because they didn't have many, and the film would break, and it was
splice it together.
Miserable, yeah. Yeah, splice it. And who spliced this film out? All ripped up. And it was, some schools, particularly some of the smaller schools, didn't take tapes, take films of the games at all. So, there weren't many of those kids coming out, although, the Southeast Conference in the South, they didn't allow blacks to play. So, you go to Grambling. I went to a Grambling Jackson State game one time. Walter Payton was at Jackson State. Ricky Young was playing with him. Eddie Payton was there. They had a linebacker named Robertson, all top picks. Grambling had Sammy White.
Wow.
It was kind of like going to a Super Bowl. The stands were packed, and those people were having fun, and all those bands were out doing that stuff that they do, and even the referees were putting on a show. It was great to go to that game.
Yeah. All right, well, we enjoyed our chat with you, so
good.
Thanks for taking a few
good.
Minutes.
All right, Jerry.
Vikings fans, you guys are awesome, not only because you are passionate about the current team, but you love Vikings history. It is rich in tradition, full of lots of good stories, and Jerry Reichow is one of the best stories in Vikings history, and you just got to hear from him tonight. So we're very appreciative of you taking the time to listen. On behalf of Skol Stories producer Nate Vaughn, who loves the University of Iowa and loved tonight's guest, I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw, signing off for now. Don't forget, the Vikings play in 2 days on Thanksgiving, and it's a huge game against the Detroit Lions. You can hear that game right here and all across the Vikings radio network. Again, the boom is at 11:30, so make sure you don't miss it. Thanks again for listening tonight. Until next time, see you later.